Derek and I are today with Ian Horton. He used to work at Fieldings, obviously, and we're about to ask him various questions about his time at the company. So firstly, Ian, when did you actually start at Fieldings?
I started in 1958 and finished in 63.
63 is actually the time I started at the company, so we didn't actually meet. So where were you living at the time, and how did you travel, you know, to work?
I was living in a lane called Sims Lane in Quedgeley. And fortunately, there was a bus used to come along the Bristol Road and get me to Fieldings for about 20 past seven every morning. So I was very fortunate. It was the only bus that came along. So couldn't afford to be late.
That's interesting. There's somebody else, John Willis, used to live in Sims Lane. And his mum had a sort of cottage, was it, or a bungalow right next to the bridge, right next to the canal. I don't know if you ever came across them, did you?
Yeah, we were brought up together in the same lane. Yeah, I know John very well and his mother, yeah.
Well, it's such a small world because they have now got a bungalow just up the road from Derek here. So, and we know them very well, don't we? Yeah, I was quite matey with John for quite a few years. Anyway, that's digressing a bit. So when you started in the craft school, I take it. Who was running the craft school at the time?
It's a chap called Bert Ravenhill. That was my first taste of work at Fieldings by being led up the long steel stairway outside and into the craft school. And I'd never, ever in my life been in anything like it before in my life. No sort of engineering at all.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shock the first week, isn't it? And it actually, I think, is quite hard work. And so if you stick the 6 months in the craft school, then you've got a good bit of backbone, let's put it like that. Once you finished in the craft school, where did you go after that?
Well, this is the thing. I'd always wanted to learn welding, and I really wasn't interested in the other parts of engineering and Fieldings. So it was agreed with myself and the personnel, and my mother at the time, they got in touch with, that I'd done my whole 5 years in the boiler yard. So I can't talk to you at all about machinery, fitting shops and things like that.
Ah, right, that's probably quite unusual, really. So can you tell me what you were fabricating and what sort of thing you were putting together? Did you ever go out on site to do jobs out there?
Well, we were just building, I'm not really sure now what it was, but I was working with a journeyman at the time, and we were building frameworks and things like that, I am rather annoyed at the fact that there was an apprentice that was 2 years older than me doing the same thing as me in the boiler yard, a young bloke called Derek Bennett. And because he was older than me, any jobs working away from Fieldings site, he got, which included a job in Newcastle that went on for months. And more than that, which I was really mad about, was he got the job in Russia with them as well, so I didn't venture from the site at all.
That is a shame because, what can I say? I hope he doesn't listen to this because he might get quite embarrassed. Okay, so can you remember anything unusual that happened there or any funny memories you might have?
Well, sort of funny and serious. There was a chap that used to be the foreman in the pipe shop. George Jackson was his name, and George was a very famous person in Fieldings, even though he was only a foreman. Everybody knew George Jackson. And I was pushing some pipework that I'd welded across two railway lines into the main fitting shop. I pulled the little sliding door across, and before I could do anything else, George went past me like a steam train and fell straight across the trolley and knocked two of his teeth out. And he got up and he put his arm round me and said, don't worry about it. I can remember him saying it, but I was worried. I was very upset for the rest of the day, really. But thinking back at it now, how it, the events happened, it was quite amusing.
Yeah, those of us who have worked there will remember that sliding door and the railway line quite well. There's a few things happened going through that doorway, I think. Okay, so how many hours did you have to work then, Ian, when you were there? Can you remember? Was it 7:30 you started, and when did you finish?
7:30 till 5:30 and 4:30 on a Friday. It sticks in my mind because we used to have 2 10-minute breaks as well, one at 9:30 in the morning and one at 3:20, I think, in the afternoon. But because we left at 4:30 on a Friday, we had to sacrifice the tea break.
That must have been very difficult because, you know, we all remember the pasties and the various buns and what's the other one? The hot dogs, yeah. What, can you remember, what else was on that tea trolley?
Well, I have to be honest, I used to have a pasty for break on a morning, but being a growing teenager, my mother used to make me a couple of cheese sandwiches as well, and I used to have to get all that down in 10 minutes, which probably wasn't too hard at the time.
Probably ended up with indigestion.
Yeah.
The other one I was trying to think of was drippers.
Oh, yeah. I do. You've brought that back to me now. Yeah. I do remember having the drippers. Yeah. Never let you down with food at Fielding's.
Yeah, it was Mrs. Jones, wasn't it? We called her up in the canteen, used to run it. Ran it with a rod of iron, I think, really. Yeah. Yeah.
Who was the lady who brought it round to you? Can you remember? We had Rose.
There was a Phyllis.
Phyllis, yes, that's it.
Phyllis, that's right. That's it. Used to come into the boiler yard with the trolley. I know that. Yeah.
There were different women with different trolleys. Went to different parts of of the works, weren't they? Yeah, I can remember many times sitting on the bench with a cup of or a mug of tea and a dripper or whatever. I don't know whether they're very they'd be frowned upon these days, I think.
Yeah. Could I just say one more thing? You asked me if anything sticks in my mind about when I was in there. I was once approached by the foreman of the boiler yard to get hold of the gas settling bottles and take them over to the garage, which is at the back of the number 2 fitting shop, I believe it was called, and an exhaust blowing on Jimmy Fielding's Rolls Royce. And this does stick vividly in my mind. I went across there and got down in underneath, and I seen the hole. I'd actually turned the ignition on, heard it, gone underneath, I repaired it, and then I took my overalls off, got into the Rolls Royce, sat there, snuggled up, never been in a Rolls Royce in my life, started it up and was sitting there listening, and then there was a tapping on the window. When I turned around, Jimmy Fielding was stood there, and I don't know how I stopped shaking to open the door and get out, but he was absolutely brilliant. He said, "It's my turn now, I want to listen and see if you've done a good job." And he got in there, and he got out, shook my hand, asked my name, and thanked me very much indeed. And I think I was still shaking by the time I got back to the boiler yard.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, you were lucky. Yeah, so obviously Fielding's was right next to the docks. Did you ever go round that area, or did you sort of roam round that area lunchtime or anything? Really, any memories you've got of the area around there?
To be perfectly honest, there wasn't a lot of time left on the dinner time. We used to go up and they had done beautiful cooked meals as well in the canteen for lunch times. And then we used to, if there was any time left, we used to sit down and have a game of cards after. Like, so to be truthful, no, I never travelled round there. Through having to go in the pipe shop a few times, I went out the back door and looked up and down at High Orchard Street, which in those days were just two lines of houses. But to actually go round the docks, no, I didn't do that at all.
Yeah, there was quite a bit went on round that area, obviously, with the wagon works next door. And the amount of industry up and down the Bristol Road was quite intense then, really. Okay, and so some of the other things you know, that we'd like to find out. What did you actually think of Fielding and Platt as an employer?
Well, really, I can't complain too much about Fielding's as employers. A bit dubious about a pointing system they had running there at the time. Now, I do not know, but it was split into three different things. And I was rather proud to have been, it was out of 100 points all totted up. And I was 99 out of 100 as an apprentice, which I was always very proud about. And they told me it was the highest pointing in the boiler yard there'd ever been. So I was. Immediately I finished my apprenticeship, I come out of it, and the first pointing that I got, and there, I was imagining perhaps about 80, something like that, and they put me down on 65. I went along and queried this, and said I thought that was rather low-like, and they said, like it or lump it. And so, unfortunately, that's not long after that we parted ways, but I can't say more than that. But the company itself, I was really proud to be working for. Like, you know.
I must admit, I didn't experience any of that pointing system when I was there.
I did. Derek's
just said that that he did. So did that did that actually affect your salary then, or your wages?
It most certainly did. In fact, I think the majority of your wages were made up of this. I mean, there was a flat level of wage, and the pointing system built it up. So, yeah, you know, it was just a moral drop to me to go down that far.
You were probably doing work at the same rate in the same way after you left your apprenticeship that you were doing 2 days before in your apprenticeship. So
exactly.
it probably did niggle a bit, I would imagine. Okay, let's move on a bit. So, awful lot of social life at Fielding's. Did you get involved in any of that?
Oh, yeah, it was lovely. I mean, whilst going back to the apprentice school, I mean, we had the famous Wednesday afternoons off to go down to the social club and play football or rugby or whatever we wanted to do. That was absolutely fantastic. And it also carried on through the apprenticeship because of having apprentice dinners. And we went to different hotels to have these dinners. And I always remember the one out of the lot of them, that Jimmy Fielding was there with his wife and two daughters, who were rather nice young ladies. And as the beer flowed, there was bets going round who was going to dance with his daughters. And anyway, that was the one part. But the other part was that they got up to dance, the two daughters. He got up to dance with his wife. When they came back, the full bottle of champagne he had on his table had gone. And the word went round that Mr. Jimmy Fielding would like to meet the person who took his bottle. And they'd found two lads practically legless outside with the empty bottle. So it was a bit of a giveaway. He then invited them to sit at his table with two chairs and put another full bottle in front of them and said, keep drinking, lads. And I do remember that. It was such a strange evening, that, but it was a really pleasurable one. It brought apprentices and Jimmy Fielding together, I feel, on that night.
Yeah, that's good. The apprentices, I went to a couple of the dinners, but I heard that in the end, they were starting to run out of hotels and pubs in Gloucester that would actually accommodate the apprentices for the goings on that happened. But obviously, I was never involved in anything like that. Okay, and we've covered most things. I think you said you left in 63 or 64. Can you say why you left, basically, and where you went after that?
Well, as said previously, that they had this pointing system, and I was let down badly over that, so I just looked for other jobs. And I finished up getting a job at... I went to Daniels in Stroud, and not anything to do with boiler yards, but I went there as a progress chaser.
Oh, that was a very different sort of leap in your career then. Yeah, it's... I remember Daniels. That's all gone as well now, isn't it, really?
Oh, yeah. That's right, yeah.
So where did you go after that then, Ian?
Yeah, Well, have we got
lots of lots of play, yeah.
I went from there to the Wagon Works.
Oh, right.
Wingates, as it was then, you know. And I spent quite a few years at Wingates. And when they made redundancies there, unfortunately, I was one of them. But I was also told if I went to Gloucester Foundry up in Treadworth that there'd be a job there waiting for me. So that's what I'd done. I spent 10 years there as well.
Yeah, it's amazing how we all sort of moved around the city. I think jobs were easier to come across in those days than they might be these days. I think we've covered most things, actually, Ian. Have you got anything else you'd like to add? Or shall we continue with our chat later about all the other topics that we've been thinking about?
There is just one thing. It's just sprung to mind, actually. They used to have days away at Cowley Manor. And that was supposed to be for morale boosting and things like that. And you had lads come from all places to be there. And I shall never know as long as I live, but I actually won the cross-country race. And I came in first and got a diploma. And then when I got back to Fielding's, not thinking anything of it, I was told to go to the personnel department where I had a pat on the back. I think it was the only time they patted me on the back.
It could have been useful later on, you know, in your life to know that you could run fast enough to get away from people.
Yeah, much so, yeah.
Okay, and thanks very much for all that. Thanks for your time. Obviously, we'll put your memories on the website soon. You can see yourself in all your glory. Thank you very much.
Oh, much appreciated for me, anyway. Thank you very much for coming along and considering me.